In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Kind of giving a homily to myself, so I sort of have to make sure that I pay attention. Some thoughts on the nativity of Christ. The meaning of the word Emmanuel is God is with us. The feast day of Christmas means that God Himself has come to earth to dwell among men. It means God has taken upon Himself human flesh and becomes a man. And it's not enough just to proclaim this. We must act upon it. We must try to live a life of righteousness. From our gospel reading this morning, we read verses 1 through 5. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John came baptizing in the wilderness, and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him, were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins." John the Baptist, the last prophet of the Old Testament period, fulfills prophecy and prepares the people of God for the Messiah's coming. Hearts are softened to receive the light. Later, in Christian baptism, God not only forgives our sins, letting them go, but He also brings us into union with Christ in a new life. He brings us into union in a new life. Therefore, God is with us. St. Theophan writes on this gospel, "Before the Lord's appearance to the people, before He began the work of the divine economy of our salvation, St. John the Forerunner was sent to prepare the people to receive Him. This preparation consisted in a call to repentance. Since then, repentance has become the path to the Lord and Savior and the threshold to faith in Him. The Savior Himself began His preaching with the words, 'Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" It's in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Repentance and faith lead a person who seeks salvation back and forth between each other. Repentance weighs him down with the burden of his sins and frightens him with the impartial judgment of God's righteousness. But faith comes along and shows him the deliverer who has taken away the sins of the world. He who repents cleaves to the deliverer. And having laid down the burden of his sins through confession, joyfully runs after him along the path of his commandments. In this manner, faith is born of repentance and is founded on it. He who repents holds firmly to faith according to his feeling of deliverance, and faith is alive through repentance." Romans 12, chapter verse 1 and 2. Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Someone once said that the problem of a living sacrifice is that it keeps crawling off the altar. And it won't stay up there where it's supposed to be. And sometimes there are various and many reasons for that. One is that our emotions and our feelings, which are sometimes sinful, tend to lead us or push us around depending on our circumstances or events in our lives. Does that make sense? Stuff going, you know, all the stuff, you just... In other words, you may be physically tired and emotionally strung out and you feel bad. Could be sick. And therefore, you may be short with someone. You might be impatient. You might be mad. Or you worry more than usual. And you may not be at peace as you usually are. You may think God has left you. Our feelings don't determine where God is. Our feelings don't determine where God is. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God is stable and fixed, merciful, and loves mankind, and we are not. Yet, God is with us because He loves us. God has not moved. I have. When we do not trust God, we depend on ourselves and we don't see the big picture of God's love, of God's plan for each of us and for eternity. Therefore, we may be anxious, worried, frustrated, impatient, not content, not at peace, maybe have the blues, you fret, you feel betrayed, you're grumpy, etc., etc., etc. You fill in the blank if you've had some of that. If you haven't, thank God. We may not act like God is with us. Sometimes we don't act like God is with us. Again, God calls us to repentance and to faith, and the need to let go of the things of this world and to look to heaven. In Romans 12, verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Again from Theophan. Repentance and faith lead a person who seeks salvation back and forth between each other. Repentance weighs him down with the burden of his sins and frightens him with the impartial judgment of God's righteousness. But faith comes along and shows him the deliverer who has taken away the sins of the world. He who repents cleaves to the deliverer, and having laid down the burden of his sins through confession, joyfully runs after him along the path of his commandments. In this manner, faith is born of repentance and founded on it. He who repents holds firmly on to faith according to his feeling of deliverance. Faith is alive through repentance. Is it a struggle? Yes. If it's not a struggle, see me afterwards and tell me how you do it. But it is a struggle. It's a struggle. But if it helps us to seek God, it's a good struggle. It's a good struggle. Makes us pray, seek after Him for our salvation. I think of several prayers. One, the Jesus prayer, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." In the litanies, I may do a longer homily on this one day, but in the litanies, we pray, "Help us, save us, have mercy on us, and keep us, O God, by thy grace." What more could you ask for? There's help, save us, have mercy on us, and keep us, that we might walk. And in the morning prayers, two parts of that, not all of the Trisagion prayers, but O Heavenly King, O Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who art in all places and fill all things, the treasury of good things and giver of life, come and abide in us, cleanse us from every stain, and save our souls, O Good One. And, O Most Holy Trinity, have mercy on us, O Lord, cleanse us from our sins, O Master, pardon our transgressions. O Holy One, visit and heal our infirmities. For your name's sake. Let us pray for one another and encourage each other. Pray for one another, encourage each other, hold each other up. And then the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and to each of us. It's not just to Timothy. Well, I don't have to read. That's somebody else's mail. No. It's us. You can read somebody else's mail every now and then. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8, I'm just going to read one of those verses. But I'm going to tell you what Timothy tells us and says to us. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and to each of us to be aware of false doctrine, untruth, and fables. Be aware of that junk. Be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Fight the good fight. Finish the race and keep the faith. That's what he did. And then he writes in verse 8, finally, he's writing about himself. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. If you love the appearance of Christ, he'll give us that crown of righteousness. Now that's very good. Finally, let us remember that God is with us. But of course, it is not enough for us to simply proclaim God is with us. We must act upon it. The simple act must color our life, our every breath and our every day and every encounter. Let the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of humility, love, kindness, and faith sink deeply into our souls during this sacred season, and then let it linger there always. Let it be clear to one and all that God is with us, and we rejoice in that reality. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.